I ask you to please stand for the reading of the Holy Scripture. You're reading for Psalms chapter 23. Verse 23. No, just chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks to God. Please be seated. And let us pray. Loving God, as your word has been spoken through Christ, the Good Shepherd, a word that was spoken through Christ to King David, a word that is spoken at many funerals, a word that is spoken to us today. So come, Lord, through Christ, lift us. Free us from the burdens that have tied us down. Open us to the reconciliation that comes only through Christ. So open our eyes and our ears that we may see and hear more clearly this word of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. When you think about the table, it's something that's either holds all your mail, holds all your keys, holds everything else. You know, it's something that in our culture has become a center point for whatever. The origin of the table was to have a place to gather and to feast. Even if it was Spam, okay? Even if it was Vienna sausages and cheese. Even if it was just bread. It was a place to come and to share life. So when you think about the table, there's something very special about a table. When it's being set with care, when the good dishes come out, as my brother and I would say when my mom would bring out the china. We knew that when the good dishes come out that we wouldn't be eating off of them because someone special was coming, and that was adults, and the kids would be eating something in the kitchen. So thinking about the table, when you prepare the table for with a tablecloth and with cloth napkins and with china and with goblets, something special is going to happen. This is not an everyday occurrence. Maybe it is at your house, but in my family growing up and in my family now, this is not something that is the everyday occurrence. Something very special goes on when you make that special effort. And it's not by accident that that happens. You prepare for it, you plan for it, you make sure that it happens. So, thinking about the table, it could be an extension of the Lord's table that we talked about last week. Somewhere along in our walk of faith, we've we distance ourselves between this table and this table. And we forget that this table is the same as this table of Jesus' eyes. And that at this table that Jesus changed lives, he transformed societies, he brought the lowly up to the status that he was upon. He broke down gender biases, he broke down racism, classism, sexism. He broke down Judaism. He made sure that all are welcome around the table. But I'm afraid that we have allowed our very, very busy lives to forego the specialness of the table, of taking the time to actually sit across the table from someone and to just be with them. Without electronics calling our attention, without the TV blaring and laughing. I remember back in the day when we would get the treat of having a TV dinner. Now, for those of you who don't know what a TV dinner is, Google it. And it was one of those things that came in a foil tray, and you got to stick it in the oven. And it may have tasted horrible, but it was special. It was special. It happened about every 7 to 8 weeks at my family's house. It wasn't an everyday occurrence. And on those TV dinner nights, we got to get out the TV tray and we got to sit in front of the TV and watch while we ate our Salisbury steak with green peas and orange carrots seemingly smushed together. The table can be something very special for us. And I remember tables in my life. Last week I shared with you the table around my grandparents where, you know, I was, my food became abused by my cousins and my sister and brother. But the table that stands out for me in the midst of today is the table that happens at school. Remember school lunches? For those of you who are in school, you know exactly what I mean by school lunches. Sometimes school lunches are great. There are times where you come and there's people that are wanting you to sit with them, and they've made a place. Come on, Danny, come sit. Come on, come on. Hey, Gleason. Hey, we're over here. But for many of my school lunches, that was not the case. You come walking off of the lunch line, and you're looking, and you're looking, and you're looking, and you're looking, and you're not in that in group. The ones that are over here are the ones that are laughing and cutting up, and there's no space around the table. Most of my lunches were just to eat as fast as I can so I can go back and eat again. Sometimes that school lunch was a time to just to kind of bury my face in food so I wouldn't have to deal with the realism that nobody wanted me at their table. The other day when I was at Matthew's new school, and they were talking about a new thing that they're having. They're going to start with the children, and it was going to be where they could sit where they wanted to sit. I'm like, and the first thing that came into my mind is, no! Make them sit where they're supposed to sit. They're only children. Because when you leave it open to sit where you want to sit, there's going to be the end table. And there's going to be the the place that's not open to everybody. It's the realism that the world is happening even in elementary school, but it just shot fear through my heart. The Lord spoke through King David, is that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Wow. You know, we've heard that scripture 1,000 times. But if we really think about that scripture, that verse 5 of the 23rd Psalm, and what it means, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I know that when we think about dealing with conflict resolution and arguments and fights, we don't tend to think of tables like this. We tend to think of tables in the saloons of the Wild West movies where they would just crush the tables and everybody's in a raucous fight. But we have to remember that real life is not supposed to be like that. Life is supposed to be around the table even when our enemies are present. You know, right before that verse 5, the Lord spoke through David saying this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So even when we walk through the darkest moments of our life, God is there. Even when we sit down at the table across from people that really want to end our happiness, even folks that don't like us, even folks that look for our own demise, there is a place at the table to take care of that. There's a place at the table to deal with our conflicts, to deal with our issues. And to think that conflict does not exist is really, wake up. It does. In every situation, in every life, even in the life of Jesus, conflict surrounded him. The true essence of what love is, conflict was at every turn. But Jesus said that wherever two or more are gathered, I am present. Now, I think the reason why Jesus said that, wherever two or more are gathered, in my experience in life, wherever two or more are gathered, there's going to be a fight. Wherever two or more are gathered, there's going to be a disagreement. Wherever two or more are gathered, there's going to be at least two opinions of how things should be and how things ought to be and how things are going to be. But wherever two or more are gathered, Jesus says, I am present. But God has set the table for us through the Lord. He's prepared the table and he has created a space for conflict to be dealt with. You know, Jesus dined with all sorts of people, you know? He dined with people who were the upright, the folks who were all right. He dined with people who were all wrong. He dined with people who did not have a table of their own. And he dined with people who have been cast out of every table that they've ever been a part of. Jesus dined with all sorts of folks. But he used this table and the time around it as an opportunity to bridge the gaps of our relationships, to bridge the gaps where conflict has made it almost impossible for us to see each other's point of view, much less to love them. You know, back when in my day, there was a bitter rivalry on the basketball court in the NBA between Magic Johnson of the Los Angeles Lakers and Larry Bird of the Boston Celtics. If you ever watched them play against each other, you could see that they really, really, really wanted to beat the other one horribly bad. And when they were guarding each other, which they usually did, there weren't any pulled punches, if you would. They went full out. And if the other one got in the way, then they just got in the way. And if there's no blood, there's no foul. Converse had an idea of doing a shoe commercial with the two of them. And what happened in the midst of this time of them shooting this commercial transformed both of their lives. So I'd like for you to watch a little bit. So even around the table, Magic Johnson become Irvin Johnson, that's his given name. And he and Larry Bird could put down their bitter rivalry that they really couldn't stand to be in the sight of each other. And even in the games, they would not shake hands with each other prior to this. They were able to get to know each other even around the table. So when Jesus tells us to love our enemies, he tells us to do that, not because it's a nice idea, it's because it's the most needed idea of us being a human creature. And he tells us that you've heard it said that it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to take your coat, then give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to anyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. So when Jesus speaks to us, even about our enemies, he is actually expecting us to live differently. He's actually expecting us to stand against the world view of an eye and an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we think that that's old time religion, that that's not the way it is. Show up to a playground and watch. Show up to the boardroom in a corporation and watch. Listen in the break room. Listen in the lunchroom. Watch how we act toward one another in this Christian nation that we live in. We still exact a pound of flesh for a pound of flesh. The retaliatory nature that we have, it's embedded in our human nature. And Christ calls us to trust in him to go beyond our human nature, to be delivered from our sin. So what the table does for us is creates a space for resolution. It creates a space for us to be with one another in a family setting. To be with one another, even as a family, to share our dreams, our hopes, our ideas, to talk about where we may have gone wrong, for us to be self-confessional in the midst of our conversations. It's a place for us to be free to be. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There's something that happens around the table. It's not just a place to ingest so that we can digest. It is a place for us to break down barriers, to break down walls. It's an opportunity for us to deal with the realities of life. And even in the questions that we ask of our children, so how was school? What's the answer going to be? Fine. What'd you do at school? I learned. The questions that we ask are important because without those questions, we won't get the answers. But how to be in conversation around how we deal with conflict. I remember growing up, my parents never argued in front of the children. Never. And so you can understand how confused I was when I started dating. And when you would go steady with one and there was conflict. There was arguing. I'm like, something's very, very wrong with me. Because my parents never argued. If that is your pattern around your children, I'm not talking about having a WWE match in the living room. But the pattern of arguing and loving each other in the midst of that shares with our children how to lovingly argue with one another. When I meet with couples around conflict resolution, and especially around premarital counseling, the last thing they want to talk to, well, the very last thing they want to talk to the preacher about in these sessions is sex. And so that's the one, we get those awkward moments out of the way, right out of the chute. But what they really, really, really don't want to talk about is how to fight fair. How to love each other even when you want to strangle them. And so I ask the question, what's the point of arguing? And if I hear the word to win, I know we've got a lot more work to work through. To come to the resolution that's best for everyone. And see, that can be modeled for our children and our families around the table. In the children's sermon, you know, not to sin in our anger, not to let the sun go down on it. And if you gather around the table at least once, maybe twice during the day, there's going to be the opportunity to make right what has been wrong. And so I think what we can take away from the table today is that the table was prepared for us to go deeper, to work through the resolutions, to work through the conflicts, to work through the midst of everyday arguing in such a way that wherever two or more are gathered, Christ is present. He's there to love us through this. But he commands us to love our enemies and to love those who disagree with us, to love those, period. Even our spouses, our children, our brothers and sisters. The table is a place to find resolution. The table is a place to create resolution. The table is a place to be welcomed. So the next time that you are in the lunchroom And you see that person walking out of the place where they got their food, and they're looking. And they're looking to see if there's a place for them. What are you going to do? Next time you're in a restaurant and you see someone walk in, invite them to your table. Sit down and get to know each other on a deeper basis beyond just magic and bird. Get to know the Urban and the Larry. Get to know the one that you thought you knew even more deeply when you remind them, hey, you've got some ketchup right there. There's something that happens at the table that's not magical, but it's spiritual. And Christ invites us to join him around the table. Would you pray with me? Glorious and beautiful God, we thank you for the table that you prepared before us in the presence of even our enemies. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to work through the conflict, the inevitable conflict that's always going to happen. And you've given us a place to do that. You created a space for us to be peacemakers. You created a space for us to love. So come, Lord Jesus, love through us, even at the table. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all of God's children said, Amen.